Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We'll begin with prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all the wonderful things you're doing among your people that love you, that seek you. Those you put first and those you put last, I pray that you'll do a mighty work through us all. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God is good.
Amen.
You know, when you think of him, I learned to think global. He's the Holy Spirit, and he put things on in people's hearts all over the world at the same moment. And that's why I pray that way. Because he can, I don't know how he does, but he can do it. You know, nothing's too hard for him. Today, we was around verse 3 when Judas was about to betray Jesus. We're in St. John 18 in the communion class, and we made it down verse 4. We'll start at verse 2. Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place where Jesus went. This is when he went to the garden. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted there with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? Now, Jesus was always aware of what was going on in his ministry, because he spent time with the Lord. He always knew what was coming. He was never surprised. And he knew that Judas was the one that would betray him. And he showed it to John. The man that sops the bread is the one that would betray him. And Judas did it. And when he left, Satan entered him, you know. So Jesus said, Whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. He protected his own, his disciples. Because they were still in a condition where they didn't understand what he was doing. And when he said, Whom seek ye? They fell to the ground. When he said, I am he, they went backwards and fell to the ground. Now this startled them. You know, they're warriors. And then when Jesus said, I told you that I'm he, if therefore you seek me, let these go their way. And they obeyed. And then verse 9 says, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake of them, which thou gavest me, I have lost none. Because they would have killed the whole band. But this was prophesied that he lost none of his, and he didn't. That's why following the Holy Spirit, when we follow him, everything will be in sync. We'll be able to, we'll know what's going on. We'll cooperate with him. We'll operate within his plan. And everything that should happen will happen, and nothing that shouldn't happen won't happen. And that's precisely what Jesus did. And then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall not I drink it? Even the wording helped the whole process. Everything that he did, the wording, the way he said what he said, it guided the people, the soldiers, to do what they come to do. Because Jesus is fully dedicated to the Lord. He's going to lay his life down for us and protect his disciples. And he already did something about how Satan would try to sift Peter's mind as wheat. He said, I pray for you, and when you strengthen your brothers. He already had that laid out. The only way to do such a work is to follow the Holy Spirit and is commune with him. All of these things that he did came from communion with God. It came from paying attention to the Lord. Now, fasting helps God's voice to be louder to us. It weakens our flesh, and the voice of our flesh is not as loud. And the voice of God is louder. But I found something better than fasting. Whenever I would fast, I would pray and study the word with it. That way God's voice would be louder than mine. But what I found better is confessions. When I say that I'll do all that's in his heart. And the reason I pray that way and confess that, so that I'll be conditioned to follow. And if you assume that you'll automatically follow God, there are things where you may have reserves. I've run across them before. When the Lord tells me something, if I don't have the courage to do it, you know, I wonder. I say, well, wait a minute now. Lord, you sure you want me to do that? And then his voice my voice gets louder than his. And then in the early days when the Lord was teaching me to follow him, I said, I got to vow. I got to do this. And I had to make myself obey him. And if I didn't follow through with something, I'd ask him why. I didn't prepare my heart to follow him. You have to prepare your heart to follow. So, and then Charles Capps taught on confessions, and that makes it so much better. If you fast, God's voice is louder, and your voice is softer, and then he'll talk to you, and you're more apt to listen in that state. But you can confess the word and adjust your own heart, even without a fast. And if you have to,
that again, confess the word
and condition your own heart.
And condition your own heart.
Because the Proverbs say, better is he that rules his spirit than he that takes a city. So that means you can rule your spirit to hear God, to love his will, and to hate the false will of this world. It was easier to obey God as I confessed the word. The things that would hinder me, it was harder. The things that would hinder me, some things I had to drive away. I said, this is hindering me. And I said, I started saying, everything that's not like God has got to go. And what happens then, some things are neither here or there, but it's a hindrance, or it can be. And if it is, you lose an appetite for it. And the voice of the world gets lower, and God's voice gets stronger in your eyes, in your ears. And when that happens, now you can hear it. And this is when Jesus would go set aside and pray. This is where he would learn these things, because everything Jesus did, he had to learn it some kind of way. He had to learn it. When I first got saved, I thought he was able to do it because he was God. But he laid his life down. He became a baby like us so he could identify with us. So he had to learn everything. He had to learn who he was in God. He had to learn that he was the Son of God. He had to believe the word written, prophesied about him. He had to learn just like everybody else. And then he spent time in the Lord's presence, and that's where we get our adjustments. And I go in this when I first used to go in the Lord's presence. Sometimes you'd see yourself for what you are. You know, things would be revealed, and I said, "Man, I got to work on this and that." And I'm going to tell you something else. When you spend time in the Word of God and you make adjustments, and when you minister, people feel the same way. They see themselves where they're at because light is cast. Anytime there's a light cast, people see things. And they say, man, I got to change. I got to do this. I got to do that. And sometimes people leave you just like Adam left the voice of God. All this happens because when you're in the presence of the Lord, things are revealed. And the same is true for others. When they hear you minister or see you live, you put them in a position where they have to make adjustments. This is how communion works. And but confessions, you know, confessions of faith. That's where we get our change. And there's no limit to how much you can agree with God. You can agree with him as much as you want. Just like you can become as wealthy as you want. You can become as well as you want. You can become as wise as you want. So your dedication and agreement to God is limitless. Even your flesh will learn to be brighter. It won't bother you as much. It won't. The voice of your flesh can be tuned down at your will. If you can rule your spirit, you can definitely rule your flesh. And it's just like a horse, taming a horse. You can tame a horse, and I watch old westerns when they go to the saloon or the sheriff's office. Sometimes they don't even tie the knot; they just rope it around the thing. The horse just stays there. He ain't going nowhere. Even if they hear gunfight, they just stay with it.
I always wondered about that.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was interesting.
So we can learn God's word. And we can it's up to us. You don't have to be jumpy. You know, you can be settled in him. We'll pick up at verse 12 next week. We almost gonna finish on time today.
All right.
Second Corinthians. No, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. Communion is our backbone. The Word of God will guide us. Will help us grow in the Lord. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. But it's our communion, that relationship with the Lord. That's our backbone. That's how we receive it in. That's how we get it. And that's where we receive the plan of God's will. That's where we get our best understanding. Verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And dear Lord, I thank you for your word. We remember you, and we thank you for all that you've done, all the many blessings that you've given us, and all the plans that you have towards us. Help us to do all that's in your heart, and do all to stand in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.